For those that don't know me, I'm Terry Charman, and you'll be pleased to hear that because it's a short passage, it's also a short sermon. A few months ago, during the talk on taming the tongue, I mentioned my journey to Christ and the instant change in me. I was 38 when I gave my life to Jesus. Immediately afterwards, I felt like I was walking on air and that nothing could change the joy I felt. I always seemed to know the right thing to do and say. I remember one occasion, I was ordered by my branch manager to get rid of a poor performing employee. Being in the public service, that wasn't a straightforward thing to do. But I also felt this lady was suffering. The first thing I did was say a prayer. Then I spoke to the employee about the situation and she opened up about her struggles. She'd left her abusive husband, her son was playing up at school, and her daughter was taking drugs. Excuse me. I spoke to HR about the matter and they suggested she should get some sick leave. I arranged for her to see a Christian doctor that I knew, and she was signed off for 3 months. To cut a long story short, she got some counselling and on her return she was moved to a different role. During the process, without me telling her, she recognised that I was a Christian. Interestingly, I discovered afterwards that my branch manager was a Christian too, but hadn't displayed any sense of compassion at all. My feeling of euphoria lasted for many months. Then gradually over the next year or so, I found life's trials and some of my previous traits penetrating the protective shield. Some of the people I talked to about this said I had experienced the honeymoon phase and now God wanted me to stand on my own 2 feet, which seemed logical, but not the whole answer. I thought that my old evil self was coming back to the surface and driving a wedge between God and me, and that the Holy Spirit had withdrawn somehow. Then, as part of my daily Bible reading, I came across the passage which was read today. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I immediately thought that this meant I may have lost my salvation through not being fully connected to God. I read it as saying, if you lose your saltiness, it means you've lost your salvation and can't get it back. Thankfully, I had good Christian friends who were able to convince me otherwise, but it did trouble me for a while, and I still never really understood the passage until much later. As a result of thinking that way, I did do a lot of research on whether you can lose your salvation. There are many books on the subject and many verses that can be used to support the view, once saved, always saved, and many that can be used to argue the opposite. That's a topic for another day, but all I'll say for now is, why take the chance? So what is Jesus telling us? Basically, he's using the analogy of salt and light to refer to the role of his followers in the world. Let's look at the analogy of salt first. We're all familiar with salt as a seasoning for food. In the same way that salt enhances the flavour of the food it seasons, Jesus wants us to stand out as those who enhance the flavour of life in this world. Christians, living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to Christ, will inevitably influence the world for good, just as salt has a positive influence on the flavour of food. Where there is strife, we are to be peacemakers. Where there is sorrow, we are to be the ministers of Christ, binding up wounds. And where there is hatred, we are to show the love of God, returning good for evil, as Scott taught us at the beginning of last month from Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. But many of us older folk we'll know of another major use of salt and its properties. A high concentration of salt kills organisms that decay food and cause disease. A concentration of 20% salt will kill bacteria. In Jesus' day, there were no fridges or freezers, so food, particularly meat, would go off quickly in the Middle East environment. Salt was used to preserve the food, which it partly does by drawing water out of the cells and drying the food. There are still people in some parts of the world, and maybe even here, who use it in this way. My father-in-law used to grow his own vegetables, and because he had much more than he could use in one go, he would often preserve them in salt, which kept them from deteriorating. Salt is also used as a preservative today in many processed foods, although it's in a less pure form and is often combined with chemicals. As Christians, we are preservatives in the world, helping to preserve it from the inherent evil of ungodly people in our society. We read in Romans 8:8, "Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." But there's also another slant to the words Jesus uses. A more literal translation of the first part of verse 13 is, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, with what shall it be salted?" The Greek word for salt is halos. Jesus uses the word halas, which derives from the base word. It still means salt, but it has the additional figurative meaning of prudence, which means to exercise caution, wisdom, and judgment. Similarly, the word used for tasteless is the Greek word moreno, which means to become insipid. This word also has a figurative meaning, to become foolish. This helps to make the meaning clearer. As Christians, we should exercise caution, wisdom, and judgment in all situations, or we risk becoming foolish. Looking at the analogy of light to the world, our good works are to shine for all to see. Our presence in the world must be like a light in the darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to the darkened hearts of sinful people, as explained in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. This will happen if we perform our deeds in accordance with the other principles that Jesus mentions in this passage, such as the Beatitudes, which we heard about from Barry last week. The aim is not that Christians stand out for their own sake, but that we might glorify God, as stated in verse 16 of today's text. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." How can our role as salt and light in the world be affected? We are to preserve the difference between the Christian and the world. So any words or actions which blur this distinction between us and the rest of the world is a step in the wrong direction. We can do this either through a choice to accept the ways of the world for the sake of comfort or convenience, or to contravene the law of obedience to Christ. Mark 9:50 commands us to have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. So we could lose our saltiness if we are in conflict with each other as members of the church, for example. Similarly, in Luke 14:34 to 35, the reference to the analogy of salt is in the context of obedient discipleship to Jesus Christ. The loss of saltiness would occur in our failure as a Christian to take up our cross daily and follow Christ wholeheartedly. To be salt means to deliberately seek to influence the people in our life by showing them the unconditional love of Christ through our good deeds. As light is a symbol for awareness, knowledge, and understanding, to be light means to be a witness to others concerning the truth of God's word, especially about who Christ is and how he died and rose again for our salvation. So our role as salt and light in the world may be hindered or prevented through any choice to compromise or settle for what is more convenient or comfortable, rather than what is truly best and pleasing to God. Also, the status of salt and light is something that follows naturally from our humble obedience to the commandments of Christ. It is when we depart from the Spirit-led lifestyle of genuine discipleship that the distinctions between ourselves and the rest of the world become blurred and our testimony is hindered. Only by remaining focused on Christ and being obedient to him can we expect to remain salt and light in the world. In summary, we are to do as much good in the name of Christ as we can, and we are to share the light of the gospel with as many people as we can. Let me just pray. Father God, we just thank you for your words. We thank you for the clarity of them. And we just ask, Lord, that you will help us to be salt and light in this world and be great ambassadors for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.